This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Major crossroads for Travis Kelce. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and he was speaking about it for the very first time, Pearl, on his podcast with his brother, Jason. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So a very contemplative Travis Kelce, Pearl, about his future. First and foremost, though, about the game. He said he was really disappointed with himself, obviously. He was not productive in the game. He said that not only was he trying to do too much and kind of got away from some of his assignments, but two, he said that he really disappointed himself as a leader. That it wasn't really the energy guy, like on the sidelines. He felt like he really didn't, you know, galvanize the team. You remember last year, he was so ticked off at Andy Reid, he almost bumped him to the ground during the Super Bowl. Remember, he almost knocked Andy Reid over because he was so incensed that he wasn't getting the ball. This one, very, very different. Let's hear from Kelce, though, on saying he will make his decision on his future later this offseason.
I know everybody wants to know whether or not I'm playing next year, and right now I'm just kicking everything down the road. I'm kicking every can I can down the road, and I'm not making any crazy decisions.
Okay, Kelce said that he still can play, but how motivated is he to do everything you need to do to get back on the field?
I think I could play. It's just whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
Okay, more on the desire to want to play at the high level again.
As you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have, man, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then on top of that, to not be there in the biggest moments, knowing your team's counting on you, man. Those are all extremely hard things to, it's just a tough reality.
All right. So sounds a little like, you know, father time catching up, can't do the same things that he used to do. Now, meanwhile, he had a great game against the Houston Texans. He had seven receptions for over 100 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, he's walking out there with a cane or something, but you're hearing that and thinking what from Kelce?
Well, I actually wonder, before we talk about his future, like, what was he supposed to do? I don't understand. And I'm actually saying, I legitimately don't understand, like, there's no route he could have run that was going to help the team in any way. I know he missed some blocking assignments.
Yeah.
And there were some miscommunications where he had six targets and he had four catches on those six targets. On the two targets, him and Mahomes were on different pages. They weren't drops. Like, what was he supposed to do? He's a tight end. Like, how was... Maybe that leadership is something. Like, there's nothing he could have done running routes to help the team. Was there? Am I missing something?
I don't know. I mean, listen, Kelce's always been that guy. When they needed a spark, when they needed to find something, like, he finds a way to get open inexplicably. It's not like he was the speed guy for all of his career, and all of a sudden now he's not. But he's a way of the catch, the button hook, the way that he's able to just find a little bit of space, a sliver. And
there was no time. There was no time for him to do any of that. Like, why is that on him that he maybe did run those quote-unquote button hooks? Like, I just think, like, it didn't matter. Like, Kelsey could have run the best routes in the history of the world. How on earth was Mahomes going to get him the ball?
Well, I'm just telling you what he said.
Yeah, no, I'm actually questioning you. Like, yeah, I still understand, like, what he didn't do in that game.
Well, he said he also got away from his assignments. That's
yeah,
what he said.
I did see some stuff where he ran the wrong play a couple times.
He also said, I wasn't the best that I could be in motivating my guys, keeping my guys calm, cool, and collected, and I put a lot of that on myself. I've been in the building for 12 years. I've seen a lot of football, and I've seen a situation just like this in the Super Bowl, he said, and he still didn't feel like he was the best teammate that he could be. You know, there was a lot of also from Kelsey. He did this in a better way than some other athletes have done it, which is to, after a loss like this, say, well, my life's still great, you know? Like, he did a lot of that, though, which was, I understood that even though I lost, I was still surrounded by family and friends. I still, you know, have this great life. And he wasn't saying it like, and everyone who roots for the Chiefs, you just have to go sit in your misery because, ha-ha, you're not dating the biggest pop star in the world. Like, it wasn't like putting it in anyone else's face. Like when LeBron James, when the Heat lost that first year at the Heatles, he goes, I get to wake up to be LeBron James and you still have to be you. That wasn't popular. But Kelsey was very much bringing the bigger picture in mind.
I mean, he's a very down-to-earth guy. I mean, I know that's one of the reasons people like the Heights podcast, because those are like, they're so world-famous today, Taylor Swift. They don't feel that far from the kids who grew up in Ohio.
Yeah, they're coming across that way. That's for sure.
I like Kelsey as a public image. But that be, how about, I got a scenario for you.
Yeah.
Why does he do like Gronk and retire or step away, then bring him back halfway through next season? Because I did hear a little bit of, I don't know if I want to do the work to get my body in shape for a full season.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of guys go through. It's not that they don't want to play in the Super Bowl. They definitely want to do that. They just don't want to go through training camp.
Yeah.
That week 4 when you got to play against the Bears and it sucks and, you know, and then it's cold and you're playing in games where it's 5 below 0. Yeah, I understand that. Maybe he could do something like that. I just think he's definitely coming back, I would say, bottom line.
Okay, that's how you read that. I lean more, oh gosh, he might actually retire.
No, I think this is just what he's thinking about now. Uh-huh. He is lucky, he's blessed, he's got all this great stuff happening for him, and he's got the whole world, you know, waiting for him when he's done as far as movies and TV and podcasts and all that stuff. But I just don't think that he wants his last game to be one where he has all these regrets. So, like, Kelsey said a lot of things in his pod, and he talked about, you know, how he's going to wait for his future, and he's got all these great people around him. But a lot of it was the regret about this game. Like, first and foremost, he's a football player, and he played bad, and the whole team played poorly, and they got smoked. And I think that is still the number one thing. So I think for him to say, I was not just that he didn't play well, but that he was a bad teammate, and he's putting that on himself because he didn't think that he was the leader he could have been. I think that kind of regret stays with you, and you think, I can definitely be better at that next time around.
Yeah, I see. And I believe he said all these things, and he believes all these. I'm not sure what. I mean, what Travis Kelce had the game of his life, the Chiefs lose by what? 14 instead of 17? Like, what on earth could he have done in this spot? I'm not sure I understand, like, even, like, why was it, what was bad about the game for him? I just don't quite get it. I mean, his quarterback was getting demolished up front. Could he have gotten more open? Is he slowing down and not getting open? That I'd love to see. And, like, he might know better than us. Like, is he having trouble separating in a different way than he ever has? That's kind of what I was hearing there. Oh, man, I can't get open. Like, honestly, again, like there's nothing he could have done against this Eagles team. They were burying Mahomes. It was exactly like the Bucs Super Bowl. So I'm sure he had no impact in that game. Does he know, man, I'm not beating the linebackers like I used to, or the safeties or whatever?
Well, maybe he'll tell himself, if we had a few more receivers or better receivers to take maybe some, not the linebackers necessarily, but to take some of the attention away from me. As he keeps saying, no Rashee Rice in this game. I mean, you know, Mahomes is throwing picks. Like, maybe if they just had some better offensive weapons, then he would be able to have been more effective.
But they actually, you know, against Buffalo, like, they had a lot of success throwing.
Not Kelsey.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, there were good receivers around him in that game. I don't know if that's going to help. Do the Eagles even need to double-team Kelsey in this game? I got to look at the tape there. Well, I'm not going to look at the tape, but I got to say I'm going to look at the tape.
You're like, not going to rewatch the Super Bowl that your team won?
I already rewatched it. I've already rewatched it, but I don't see the all. It's kind of hard. You got to look at the All-22 to see what. Kelsey's not on camera the whole time.
That's right.
Like, I'm just curious. Like, he might know that he's not separating the same way, Maggie. That's why I'm curious if he retires. He does not want to be, like, a stiff out there.
Was it Jay in Nashville who said they should cut him earlier in the show?
Release him.
Yeah, cut him. So I went, they don't save actually that much in the cap, even if they cut him. But that whatever. Is there a scenario where the Chiefs say no thank you to Travis Kelce?
No way. Not a million years.
I don't think so either.
Why would they do that? Like, what's the big difference? Like, you might as well, even a 60% Travis Kelce. He's a tight end who can catch the ball. I mean,
I think it's more than that, though. I think it's about what he means to the team. You know, I think the NFL is a very cold-blooded, cold-hearted business. But for certain guys, I do think they keep them around.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
no,
I don't think they would say goodbye to Kelce. And I think honestly, some of it's Taylor. I think they like her at the games. And the NFL certainly likes her at the games, even if she got booed by the Eagles fans. They don't care about that. They love her.
Yeah, I also do. I mean, it's not like Kelsey's making quarterback money or Jalen Waddle money. He's, what, making 18 or something?
Something like that.
And you're right, the dead cap. And also, he's not going to be on the books for that long. There's no problem keeping Kelce around if he wants to stay around. Again, that question about weapons, like, who do they bring? There's a lot of smoke that they're going to bring in a weapon.
They need to.
But do they really?
Because yes.
I don't know. If you could imagine a fully healthy. Rashee Rice had 100 yards in two of his first three games last season. I think Worthy looks amazing. I think there's a chance this offense picks up again real fast. They just need linemen. They've been trying to draft them. They just need four new linemen. Can you deliver that to me, Maggie?
I cannot. I don't weigh enough. There was another moment in this Kelce pod that I just found really interesting. You can call us about Travis at 855-212-4227. Do you think he'll retire? But okay, so here's Jason Kelce. And, you know, I've had my criticism about Jason Kelce, and it's nothing football-wise. It's just sometimes a little too much look at me.
Top five people Maggie hate.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, hey, no, you don't hate Jason Kelce.
I don't hate him. I didn't like how he acted when they went to Buffalo last year for the playoff game. Because I don't like that you're out tailgating with Bills Mafia and taking shots out of the bowling ball and doing all that. And then you walk into the stadium and you're obviously cheering for the opponent, which is the Bills' hated rival.
The Bills make me wanna
And is that his shirt off and he's all up like in the stands? Like, dude, you're the opposing, you're here to root for the opposition. Keep your shirt on, man. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he can take the shirt off. You can't. And
whatever.
I thought he was weirdly trying to upstage Taylor. It was just a weird vibe. So I've had some of my issues with Jason Kelce. I think he's a little look at me.
I think he will also drink beer with any human being on the planet, so it doesn't matter.
I think fine. Even no if they're playing, there.
Yeah, I think if you give a former NFL offensive lineman a beer, he's drinking it, Mag. I don't care what team he's on.
Anyway, a little look at me, and I thought we had a little look at me moment on his pod the other day, whatever yesterday got released, when Jason Kelce, while Travis is talking about his Super Bowl loss, his future. This is Travis's time, okay? Why is Jason Kelce crying?
We are still very much attached to this organization, which is why there is part of me that obviously is very happy and proud that they have won this game. But that doesn't take...
And that doesn't
does
make
take
you
prefer-
less of a brother. That doesn't make you less of a brother. That
all
doesn't
I
make you...
Say, that does not take precedence over rooting for you.
Yeah.
And that's why this game sucked. It was very, very hard to watch. As much as I love the Eagles, as much as I love the city of Philadelphia, there was not a f***ing out to me that... And I know that, like, I don't know. I tried to correlate that I was rooting for both sides the whole time.
Why the tears? Kind of feels like things are working out pretty well. Your brother's playing in the Super Bowl against a team you spent your career with. They won. He's telling you, I get it. I understand why you're happy. He's not holding a grudge. What were the tears there? Why is Jason Kelce so emotional? What's up with the hormones? I don't get it.
I don't know. I get it. I get to the brink of tears if I lose a bet on FanDuel. I can't imagine having my brother in the game. I would be pretty emotional too.
Played against his brother. He lost to his brother 2 years ago. Yeah. There might have been tears then.
That was a tear fest. Okay. Remember when Donna came down? Oh man,
that was fun.
Okay, but fine. But what's Travis is there telling you, dude? I get it. You guys are part of the community in Philadelphia. I didn't understand where the tears were coming from.
Because he loves his brother, and he was sad for him.
Must have been getting some heat from somewhere about him. I guess he was rooting for the Eagles. I don't pay attention to him very often, so I don't know what. I didn't know who he was rooting for.
He basically said, "Good game." He basically said, "Happy the Eagles won. Sad my brother lost." And if you're gonna go and look for every troll who responds to your tweets, then yeah, you're gonna find somebody who probably has an issue with
that. Makes me think that it wasn't a troll. That was someone closer to him. Someone closer to him, I think, may have said, "You got to root for your brother."
And
I don't know if it's Donna. I don't know.
Oh, you but think this me, was a family
this
thing?
This feels, because it almost feels like Travis is, because the way Travis says, like, you're a good brother. It's almost like they've had this conversation this week. And now he's having the conversation again. He almost is trying to stop Jason from doing what he's about to do. It feels like this was the first time Jason shed tears over this. And Jason's like, nope, I got to have this.
Then can I, then can I tell you what would be the most fraudulent thing then? And the one thing I don't want to see? Then I don't want to see Jason Kelce at the Eagles parade. Because if you're so cracked up by this and it's so heartbreaking to you that you can't choose between the Eagles and your brother, then not the mummer's costume, not drinking beer with the Eagles fans, not getting up there and cursing, don't want you at the parade.
That's what I said early in the week.
But this is this before he's crying, dude.
Like, I'm just saying.
Am I wrong about this?
No, I agree. I agree 100%. Now, the Eagles fans will take him. You know,
oh, that's fine. Take them. But you can't then claim that this is like ripping at your soul and then we're going to be shotgunning Natty Lights. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like it's a city of brotherly love. It's all good. Like Travis will be here this summer. You know, he goes to the Jersey Shore every year and does a Jason Kelce charity event. I think it's nothing but positivity. Like, yeah, I think he was crying because he loves his brother so much. What's wrong with that?
No, it's fine. But if you're this broken up by it, and you were this torn between the team you played for and your brother in the Super Bowl, then, you know, sit the parade out.
I think also, too, like, maybe he knows that was it for Travis, and he feels emotional about that.
Oh, that could be interesting.
I feel that, too.
I feel like this... I honestly, but even Travis doesn't know. I don't think it was the split between the Eagles and Chiefs that was causing him to cry. I think he just feels so deeply for his brother, who they seem to be very close, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
But if you want to make it an occasion to rip Jason Kelce for dressing in a mummer's outfit and tipping an Eagles helmet-shaped car or whatever crazy crap he's about to do.
I just think it's a little look at me.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. But you could also just, you know, suck it up and enjoy all the good times.
Don't worry, he will. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up next, someone else who's going to be on hand to witness everything, the revelry up close and personal. And that is Ricky Ricardo, who is the Spanish language play-by-play man for not only the Philadelphia Eagles, but also the New York Yankees. He's toggling in between spring training now and an Eagles parade tomorrow. And Ricky is one of our great friends. He's going to join us next, set the stage for all of tomorrow's festivities. We'll do that next. There you have it. Who else? Ricky Ricardo with the championship call, Spanish language call for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's the voice of the Eagles and also the New York Yankees, and he's good enough to join us now. Ricky, congratulations. The Eagles are world champions. You were calling it. You had an up-close and personal view. All these days later now, has it even sunk in? What's the biggest memory that you're taking away from the game?
Oh, well, first, good morning, Mags, AP. How are you? It was a special, it was a very difficult few days. For those that don't know, we had part of our whole group had a tragedy at the beginning of the week. We were able to work through it. We got into the weekend. The city of New Orleans was fantastic. No better place to host a Super Bowl. The hospitality was incredible. And then you get to game day, and it's almost anticlimactic a little bit, but once you get that kickoff out of the way and you get the vibe going inside that stadium. I tell you what, it was at least 75-25 minimum Eagle fans in that building. It felt like Lincoln Financial Field had just shifted down to the bayou. So the energy was there. It's something that I'll never forget. But What I'm still stunned about, and I've gone back and watched the game on a couple of different accounts. I watched the all 22, the whole thing, and just the way that the Eagles dominated a two-time defending Super Bowl Kansas City Chief team. That's the one thing I take away from this is how did they do this in the fashion and the manner that they did.
Yeah, Ricky, I saw you before the game. It was so funny. Yeah. You were walking out of your booth to get something. I was searching for good food in the concourse, but you were wrong. You told me the Eagles were going to win by 7 or 8. Turned out it was a lot more than that. But in all seriousness, you were very confident heading into that game. I don't know if you said it publicly, but you were pretty certain the Eagles were going to win. Why?
I did. I just thought the Chiefs, looking at both teams all season long, the Chiefs had been winning by reputation. They're a fantastic organization. I've known Andy since I started with the Eagles. Andy Reid was our head coach. So you knew, you know, that it wasn't going to be easy. So but I watched this Chiefs team this year kind of tread water. They won games in different ways, but it wasn't the dominant Chiefs team. Now, they've won that way in the past, too. So you figure, well, they're going to, you know, turn the light switch on Super Bowl Sunday and become this all-powerful team and do it all again. But I didn't get that vibe from them all year long. I thought McDermott gave them the game in the American League, the AFC Championship game. I thought Buffalo should have been in this Super Bowl. But the Eagles, on the other hand, they got through the adversity of the Rams game in the snow, pounded the hottest team in the postseason, which were the Washington Commanders. So it felt to me like the Eagles were on an upswing. The Chiefs were kind of treading water. And when you mix those two, it was almost like a perfect storm that the Eagles were going to just put it to them that day. That was my gut feeling. I said 7-8. I said on several other radio shows and TV shows I thought the Eagles would win in dominant fashion, and they did.
Ricky Ricardo is joining us, Spanish language voice of not only the Philadelphia Eagles, the world champs, also the New York Yankees, and pitchers and catchers have reported. Can't believe that spring training is going to be here. We'll get to that in a minute, though, Ricky, because one of the big question marks is Jalen Hurts. You know, Super Bowl MVP, played another great game when it mattered the most. Yet, we've had a caller earlier this morning ask Perloff, is he a top five quarterback in the league? You know, and sort of trying to put Jalen Hurts into a tier or into a box. And I'm curious from your vantage point, you watch every game, you're calling every game up close and personal. How surprised were you that Jalen Hurts had the game he had, considering his numbers had been kind of pedestrian this year for a quarterback in terms of passing? And what did he show you in this Super Bowl specifically?
Didn't surprise me at all. I've watched and I have called every snap of Jalen Hurts' professional career. I've seen him have big days throwing the football, so all those accusations about, well, he's not an aerial guy, he can't get it done that way. Listen, he didn't have big numbers this year for one reason. Saquon Barkley. The Eagles were winning with the ground attack and the dominant season of Saquon Barkley. The offense, Kellen Moore had kind of dumbed it down, for lack of a better term, but had made it very basic. We're going to win, and we were winning, basically almost ran the table if it wasn't for that one loss where Jalen Hurts got injured in Washington. So post the bye week back in week 5 in early October, the Eagles were practically undefeated, or Jalen Hurts anyway was undefeated, if you just count out that game down in Landover, Maryland. But I have seen him, when it's been needed for him to win a game throwing the football, I've seen him do it. When I have seen the offense in the past, whether it have been Miles Sanders or a Boston Scott dominating, I've seen him take a backseat to that type of a victory. This year, Jalen Hurts didn't have to put up gaudy numbers because the gaudy numbers were being put up by Saquon Barkley, and they were winning and winning and winning. I remember years ago, a wise guy named Bill Parcells once said, quarterbacks are top-notch, better, worse, rank them however you want as per the team. John Elway was the perfect quarterback for the Broncos. Dan Marino was the perfect quarterback for the Dolphins. If you switch them on the other team, maybe they're not as good. Jalen Hurts is the perfect quarterback. He is the exact formula that the Philadelphia Eagles need. He doesn't need the spotlight. He wants to win. But when it is necessary for him to take a step forward, whether it's with his legs or with his arm, he's capable of doing it. So all the criticism that he received all year, I thought was unworthy because the Eagles were winning week after week after week, but the formula went through number 26.
Ricky, what happened to those reports of tension with Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and the offense and Nick Sirianni? I felt like all that sort of disappeared toward the end of the season.
It did, and a lot of it was overblown. You know, Hurts and Brown love each other like family. They've got family ties. Nick Sirianni is the guy that, you know, after the kind of a debacle that he had at the post-game presser earlier this year where he brought his kids and he was yelling at the fans, I think he did kind of a look inside and really came back into his shell. He was very out of his shell, as we all know. But I think he did an introspective. He changed the way he went about his business. He took accountability to the team for his behavior, which I thought gained him a lot of respect with the guys in the locker room. Everything got pointed in the right direction after that bye week. Like I said, they had a mediocre performance against the Cleveland Browns coming out of the bye, but then it just kept growing and growing and growing. The defense kept getting better and better and better week after week under the direction of Vic Fangio. And what a game plan that they put together on Sunday. I thought they studied the tape of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the Super Bowl a few years ago, the one where Brady was quarterbacking the Bucs, where you get pressure right up the middle with your big guy. So playing the part of Vita Vea is Jalen Carter, and that allows your edge guys to get pressure one-on-one against the makeshift Kansas City offensive line, and your linebackers can cover the hide in case Mahomes gets away. So, you know, Sirianni allows his assistants to do their jobs. He doesn't get in the middle of that. All that negativity that you heard earlier in the season, that all went away. Even the book of, you know, A.J. Brown reading the book on the sideline. Who made out better than the author of the book, for Pete's sake, after that? And the one guy, I guess there's only one guy that's really disappointed that the Chiefs didn't win, and you know who that is? Pat Riley.
He has the trademark for three-peat.
Riley has the trademark for three-peat. So you can imagine all the T-shirts that would have been printed with three-peat on them, and Pat Riley would have made a chunk of change. But AP, I know Mags is pure Buffalo. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay? AP, you and I can appreciate this. Pretty soon, there will be company for this baby. Okay? There'll be another one that'll go on this hand. All right.
Ricky, you don't have to even hold that up to the camera. Yeah. We can see it. A satellite in outer space could have picked up that ring. It's massive.
Can we do a mini ceremony when you come back into the office here on Maggie and Perloff Show where you unveil your new ring to us?
Absolutely. You got it.
I love it. Ricky Ricardo joining us for another minute or two, Spanish language voice of the Philadelphia Eagles and also for the New York Yankees. Okay, so Ricky, you're going to be doing the parade tomorrow, Telemundo. You're going to be mic'd up. You're going to be in the crowd. Can you give us a little about what you're expecting at tomorrow's parade in Philly?
Well, I was in the parade 7 years ago, and I'll be on one of the buses. It's the double-decker buses. They don't use floats in the Philadelphia parade. It's the double-decker buses. I'll be told when I get there tomorrow morning which bus. I remember first parade, it was bus 12. I'll never forget that. But we'll go up on Broad Street. You know, the crowd will be going bananas. We'll get to the Rocky Steps. You'll have the speakers and the people will just be, you know, just would be one big mass celebration. You know, I'll be doing, on-site reporting for the Spanish language, you know, TV channels, the Telemundo Network anyway, in Philadelphia. So we'll have a lot of fun with that. As soon as I'm done with you, I'm just getting in the car and driving over to Yankee Camp. I'm about 45 minutes away. But today, Max Fried will meet the media for the first time as a New York Yankee. So a lot to look forward there. And I got to celebrate with Aaron Boone, who is a huge Eagles fan. There's a couple of big Eagles fans. Mark Leiter, who's from, you know, down in South Jersey. He can't wait to see me so we can give each other a big hug and you know, attaboy and congratulations. So it'll be my first trip over to Yankee camp today. I'll fly to Philadelphia tonight and then fly right back here to Florida and get ready for Yankee baseball.
Go back!
Unbelievable. Ricky Ricardo is doing it all. Spanish language voice of the Eagles and also for the New York Yankees. We'll have plenty of time to unpack the Yankees. I know Aaron Boone once said, favorite player, Mo Cheeks. Ricky, thank you so much. Have a great time today and say hi to Max Fried for us and also at the parade tomorrow. Wishing you nothing but the best.
Thank you, Mags. AP, we're champs, baby.
Go Birds!
You want me to just clear out? You and Ricky can do your Eagles chants or what have you. Love Ricky Ricardo. Does such a fantastic job. His calls, I don't even speak Spanish. His calls are better than anyone doing English. I know Mel Reese is a legend. Give me Ricky Ricardo all day.
Oh, 100%. You could just feel the excitement. You're right. I don't know exactly what he was saying, but the vibe was perfect. You know, it's funny, too. He is very...
He's great in English, by the
very
way.
Very professional. Yeah. He's great on the Yankees, too.
Oh, right. Ricky's the best.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
And he's got great stories about New York in the 80s.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I walked out. I was looking for... Somebody had these tacos, so I'm searching the Superdome for tacos at about 4:30. And there's some booth. All of a sudden, Ricky walks out. It was like two long-lost brothers. But like, because he had no doubt. I'm telling you, Maggie, he was already... He's like, we're winning.
You told me. You're like, 100%. I just ran into Ricky Ricardo. Yeah, I changed, very confident.
I threw some money down a little more on the Eagles after that. He's like, I know this team really well. I'm going to actually ask him next year how to bet every week on the Eagles. He's like, this is exactly what's going to happen. He's like, the O-line is going to overwhelm him, and the D-line is going to overwhelm him. And it happened.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. 855-212-4227. Double-decker buses flowing through Philadelphia tomorrow.
Who would you want to be on the bus with if you were Ricky Ricardo? Is it... Let's assume Jason Kelce, the big party guy, is not part of the team. I don't even know.
He'll be there.
Who's the Eagle?
The most fun Philadelphia Eagle. Oh, it's not even a question. You got to be on the flow with that offensive line. Those are the guys.
Yeah, I mean, they
give me a little Jordan Mailata. Give me a little Lane. Can I get a little...
you sure they put the whole O-line on one bus?
Grind to a halt.
I don't know. Yeah, like you have to, the weight issue might be a problem.
It's the whole O-line, and then they just have room for Ricky. That's definitely the most fun bus.
You're right. I mean, I think it'd be Saquon's bus is going to be a popular bus.
I'm going to be honest. The last person's bus I might want to be on in terms of personality is probably Hurts. Like, he's the quietest.
That's not going to be good.
He's just very mild-mannered.
He'd probably be studying a playbook on the bus in the back.
I know.
How dare he be so professional.
Yeah. And Manny would be blinded by his good looks.
You know who the new Mr. Feelgood, the new party guy? A.J. Brown loves everybody now. He's going to be celebrating like crazy. By the way, Eagles, I will say one more thing to annoy you Giants fans.
Yeah.
The Eagles, there's no hotter celebrity fan base than the Eagles right now. They are feeling stuff. They've added Shane Gillis, who's the number one comedian in America. Kevin Hart is staying strong.
No, like, it's EJ's crush, Anne Hathaway.
Pete Davidson is a new Giant Eagles fan because he's friends with Big Dom.
We have Birds.
Bradley Cooper. I hope they all show up at the parade.
Mike Trout. I need to call Anne Hathaway into question here, and I don't mean to disparage your hall pass here, EJ, but I saw a clip yesterday of an old appearance by her with Jimmy Fallon, and she talked about being a Giants fan.
Ooh.
Did she follow Saquon to the Eagles?
Maybe she did.
Or is it a Taylor thing? Oh, no, that's the other team.
Yeah.
Like, why is she an Eagles fan? I actually missed this.
I don't know.
She's from Jersey. I never thought she was Philadelphia. I was surprised.
Yeah, like Jimmy Fallon is giving her crap for a bad Giants start, and this is a couple years ago, not current, but now all of a sudden she's at the Super Bowl wearing Eagles green and losing her mind.
Man. Well, look, she may have jumped ship.
If that isn't an Andrew Perloff move, I don't know what.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Is she married? Could her husband have drawn her across? Like, she
definitely is married.
You can't do that.
Shucks.
You can't marry somebody and then all of a sudden be rooting for one of their biggest rivals.
And not
of your
as strongly
husband.
As she was on Sunday. She was geeking out.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, my God. I didn't see any of this. Wow, look at Anne Hathaway. It's all green. Go Birds.
Well, forget that.
I was going to tell you, forget by Shane Gillis. Oh, I did see Shane Gillis at the party. He's going to be at the parade, by the way.
What about Ryan Phillippe, our pal?
Yeah, another great one. It feels like, by the way, it was Gillis almost got on the stage with the team. Like, they've really adopted him as the guy. Kevin Hart... I wonder if he'll be drunk at the party on Friday. I would imagine yes.
Take the imagination out of that one.
Does a bear?
Can the cameras find him?
Yeah.
Great line by Brady. He does have a personality. Bogues, what do you have?
I've got the Lakers. Their hot stretch came to a crashing halt last night, a 131-119 loss in Utah. The Jazz improving to 13-40 with the win. Luka Doncic, 16 points, 4 assists, 5 turnovers in 23 minutes in his second game in L.A. Dalton Knecht, a Laker once again last night, 17 minutes off the bench. He scored 10 points. He has said the last week where he was temporarily a Charlotte Hornet has been like a movie script. There was also a Bronny James sighting last night, 9 points in 8 minutes for him. Elsewhere in the NBA last night, Jamal Murray, a career-high 55 as the Nuggets took care of the Blazers, 132-121. The Mavs topped the Warriors, 111-107. Kyrie scored 42, and the Thunder stayed hot. They've won 7 in a row. They're 44-9 right now. They down the Heat, 115-101. After trailing by 21 in the second quarter, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 32 points and 9 assists. And we also have the Kings signing
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
There it is. Free agent guard Markelle Fultz to help them replace De'Aaron Fox. The Sixers legend has not played for anyone this season, recovering from off-season surgeries. He averaged 8 points and 3 assists. I'm rounding up in 43 games with the Magic last season.
I was thinking about him the other day with regards to current college basketball stars. I was thinking about Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons and these guys who are these really hype guys who went to college and their they couldn't even make the tournament.
Top picks.
But Fultz wasn't even that good at college. The whole thing was, and Jason Tatum was killing it at Duke.
Fultz was awesome at college. I disagree with that, but okay.
Oh, do you know, look at his shooting percentages.
They were very good. I looked at him this morning. He shot 40% from three. He was
But look at his free throw percentage. Like, he was a problem. That was the thing about Fultz.
But okay,
Fultz couldn't shoot.
Wait, you guys are getting off my point here. Hold on. I'm actually trying to say something interesting. So Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons were two guys that just recently, really highly touted prospects, go to college, can't even make the tournament. Have you seen what's happened to the two guys at Rutgers?
Yeah.
Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, they lost last night to Iowa. Like, they're not making the tournament, and yet somehow these two guys are going to be the two top five picks in the NBA draft.
They better be.
But isn't it going to go the way of, like, don't we have a little bit of precedent for this?
Markelle Fultz had a weird shoulder thing, and Ben Simmons was once good and then became terrible. I think that's they're different calculuses.
I know, but think about it. Like, they couldn't even will their teams to make a 68-team field.
They're 18 years old. Right. The obviously guys that play are 23.
I'd argue it's an older game now than even it was when Ben and Markelle were playing. I think it's harder to make the tournament now.
Yeah, they also, I guess in their defense, they have not played a full season together. They both, I think Dylan more so than Ace, have been out of the lineup. And the rest of the roster apparently sucks. If there's two of them playing with the five of us, they're not going to win a lot of games.
Dude, I'll take Dylan Harper tomorrow. Oh, God, that guy looks like he's 33 years old.
Ace is nice, too. They're both awesome.
I know, but guys, think about what you're saying. All right, I get it. College basketball, it's a little tougher now. Okay, fine. It's a little older guys game. It's five guys on the court.
Yes.
Two of them are going to be top five picks in the NBA. And they can't make the tournament. That doesn't make any sense. But I would say Carmelo Anthony was a great all-time great player. Yeah, freshman year leading a team to a title.
Right, but
not just to the field of 68.
But there's no Jerry McNamara or Hakeem Warwick on this Rutgers roster.
What are you saying, Jerry McNamara? Get out of here. Okay, Hakeem Warwick. He was a lottery pick. Jerry McNamara had no NBA career.
But he was a good college player, and there's not a guy like that on Rutgers right now.
This is unfathomable, and I love Steve Peichel. He was an assistant at GW when I was there. Nice guy. I can't imagine. Win the tournament. I'm saying make the field.
Okay, what about Damian Lillard or Tyrese Halliburton? Like, those guys played on teams that didn't make the tournament.
Mid-majors, dude.
Tyrese Halliburton played Iowa State. It's not a mid-major.
Sorry, not Halliburton, but John Moran actually did make the tournament.
All right.
And Damian Lillard was at Weber State.
Jaylen Brown played at Cal. They were terrible.
That's one guy, though.
I just named three guys.
There's the two guys on the same team. They didn't all play together.
I know.
It was one guy and four others. This is two guys who are top five picks, and they can't make the tournament.
Well, if they were at Weber State, they'd be winning whatever league Weber State's in right now. The problem is they're also in the Big Ten.
They're about to be the NBA. Like,
right,
what
they're
going to
have a whole batch of NBA teammates to help them. Weber State is in the Big Ten.
The Edwards Georgia team was terrible. Like, I don't.
It's one guy who went to a football school.
What's Rutgers? Rutgers is a football school.
Right.
Is it?
Oh, my God.
Technically.
Excuse making.
Actually, I don't know anything, but is Colorado basketball good? They have like the pros.
They literally, I don't think, have won a conference game.
Yeah, yeah. Don't they have two top 10 picks?
Colorado? No.
Don't they have a good pro this year? Or am I imagining that?
Was that last year?
Or was that last year? Oh, right, right. Last year, they had the top, they had two top picks, but they were not good. They did make the tournament?
They made tournament last year.
Because, like, the draft is all guys from Serbia and France. They don't even have colleges anymore, right? Like, who are these?
What do you think Zachary Richachet would have done at Rutgers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, these are all, like, some 17-year-old Slovenian kid is going to be the number two pick. Like, I don't even know. Like, the... I don't know if it ever makes it any difference.
Yeah, you think
anymore.
Matheus Bezalius is winning games at Purdue? No.
Is that where he went?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, wait, is it the dunk contest?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he went to G League, by the way.
Oh, man.
He did. Matheus Bezalius from G League?
Yeah. Yeah, he was at Ignite.
That's where all the good dunkers are.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
Thanks, Adam Silver.
That's how bad they were. They closed up shop.
Honestly, they were not good.
He couldn't keep them alive.
Actually, yes, the G League Ignite team was not good at all, but I digress.
855-212-4227. All right, lots more to do, including one superstar's calling a shot. We'll tell you who. Welcome.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, one NFL superstar is calling his shot. That would be Perloff's favorite, Amon-Ra St. Brown from the Detroit Lions. He calling out the NFL, saying that the Eagles should open with the Lions in week one.
Can I read you the list of teams that could potentially be in that first game? Commanders.
Okay.
Cowboys, Giants, Bears, Lions, Raiders, Rams, Broncos. Out of all those teams, what, like, if you're the NFL, who are you putting in there?
Lions.
Lions or Commanders.
That's what I'm saying. Easy. So we might be playing week one.
Did you play
at Lincoln Financial Field?
More from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Or excuse me, this is his brother, Equanimeous, said the Lions make a lot of sense. Let's hear some more.
They probably take the Lions, honestly, I feel like.
They have to. If they don't, I mean, or Commanders. But really, Lions, like. And you could really see what would have happened in the NFC Championship. Not really, but like.
Yeah, with a healthy defense.
Yeah.
Their team's not going to change much. I mean, it might change a little, but.
But your team wasn't healthy. That's the thing. That's part of the game. Like, you need.
But I'm saying, you would see what, like, our healthy defense, how that operates.
Honestly, I'm all in favor of this. I know you don't like it, Pearl. You don't want the Eagles to open up with the Lions because you think this is too big of a game.
No, if I'm the networks, if I'm the NFL, I don't do it. Not from an Eagles fan. Like, you're going to you're guaranteed a rating in this opening game. Why waste the game of the year? Just put that in week nine and get a gigantic rating then.
Well, I think they're going to get a gigantic rating every time. Isn't that what the NFL always does?
Right, but then
the ratings are always great.
Well, I think Fox is going to have a lot to say about this. I think they're going to fight to keep that game off the opener. And no, but I think, like, you kind of waste a game because everyone's going to tune in. They're going to be so football hungry. Put the Bears in there, get the gigantic rating, and then get another 30 million rating later on. I think it's smart business. Spread it out.
Mm.
I mean, I'm actually looking at some of the matchups. Last year was the Ravens Chiefs, which would be similar, two best teams in the AFC. The Lions were not a playoff team and played the Chiefs, so that's where you could argue where the Bears come in. The Bills play the Rams. You remember that one? I don't even remember that after their title. And then the Cowboys, Bucks. Don't waste the Cowboys. And then in 2020, they did the Texans Chiefs, so they just threw I think there's a lot of, you know how it works, right? Like, all the networks try and protect their best assets. And that Lions Eagles game is game of the year on paper.
You know, we were just talking to Ricky Ricardo in the last segment. He's a Spanish language voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's talking about he's going to be on the double-decker bus tomorrow, Eagles parade. He's flying up from Florida, where he is right now, because Yankees spring training, the pitchers and catchers have reported, so he's pulling double duty. We are currently like 99 miles to Philadelphia, bro. You go to Philly all the time. You are an Eagles fan. Your team just won the Super Bowl, dominant fashion. Beat the Chiefs. Stop the three-peat. You sure you don't want to go to the parade?
I can't, but I kind of want to go to it. Ricky made it sound really fun, but I definitely can't go to this parade. And besides, the traffic is crazy.
But we get off the air at 10 a.m. Like, with this particular show that we're doing. The last time when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, the last time we were doing the show, they lost. But, you know, we were doing afternoons. It would have been impossible. Just would have been a complete and utter time debacle. This one, we could be off the air at 10 a.m. and you could be in Philadelphia by noon.
Yeah, no, I don't know if this is a bit, but I can't. I'm going to Costa Rica the following morning at 5 a.m.
Really? Your flight's at 5 a.m. the next day? I think you can still do the parade, dude.
Oh, dude, I would have to pack. Like, there's nothing I can't do any of this.
You could pack today.
Yeah, no, I definitely can't because it'll take so much time to get in there because the parade's knocking off all the roads. I think I would miss the whole thing. I could take a train.
What do you need to pack for Costa Rica? Bathing suit.
No, I have a bunch of other things going on. I got to do this thing with my car. I still have my expense report to file.
It's the parade, dude. The expense reports can wait.
Have you ever been to a parade?
Yeah.
They're okay.
Dude, it's a chance to celebrate your team. And you're right here. I think you should reconsider. I think your family could help you pack. You're basically going to the beach, which is going to be fun and awesome.
Oh, God. You have no
sunscreen, a couple linen shirts. You're good, dude.
No, I also have an appointment on Friday afternoon. No, there's way too much going on. I have a dentist appointment.
Can't get rescheduled.
I mean,
the dentist.
No, I can't. I actually had to reschedule three times if we have to get logistical here. No, I mean, honestly, like, I was at the game. I don't need the parade.
All right.
I was at the party. I was actually 2 feet from Dallas Goedert rapping and Nick Sirianni getting drunk while holding Lombardi Trophy. I don't want to be with everybody else.
All right. Can't convince you. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to Ricky Ricardo. You guys on the phones, fantastic. Weedos and coffee drinkers, we'll see you tomorrow.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.